Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 24, where we'll be reading verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 11. Let's stand together for the reading of God. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, Son of man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them. Dear Father, as we try to make your presence real this morning, may no one be able to conclude it is but an idle tale. Instead of unbelief, may there be convinced belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, of the living God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our subject this morning is this: the most miserable man in the world. Well, you say that's a wonderful topic for this lovely Sunday morning in the Lenten season. Well, take my word for it, it's relevant. It really is. Perhaps at the outset we ought to try to decide who this man is. You may say, well, I have several suggestions. Well, I'm not interested in hearing your suggestions. For I'm simply suggesting this morning that the most miserable man in the world is one who needlessly misses out on a good thing. Have you ever felt kind of miserable because you missed the big sale that everybody else got a terrific deal on and you missed it? You didn't go. Needlessly. Felt kind of miserable, didn't you? Oh, I think you did. There are many things that happen to us in life where we have needlessly missed out on something real good. I remember a number of years ago traveling with my parents in the great state of California, and there taking in many of the attractions of that state. We went to the renowned Forest Lawn Cemetery there. Now, normally, you won't find your average cemetery on the list of tourist attractions in the places where you go on vacation. But those of you who have seen it realize that it is just that. It is a tourist attraction, for it is a very unusual cemetery. They have amazing statuary there commemorating in a little last way the lives of famous people who have lived out in that part of the country, and there's a lot of information there, very interesting. One of the prime attractions, however, is a great mural that's housed in a large building, and you can go into this building and be seated and have a narrated demonstration of this mural, which is the Passion of the Lord, and it's a beautiful thing. I'll never forget the experience of going there and seeing that presentation. While we were there and heard about this and decided we'd go, we in the party were quite enthused about it, all except for my father. My father was a man who, in his business, traveled a great deal, drove an automobile over 50,000 miles every year. In addition to that, he traveled thousands of miles by plane and train. And he had an abhorrence of tourist traps, and actually it was his conclusion that most all tourist attractions were simply that, just tourist traps.
Forgive him. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Dear student of the student body of this college, Other. I'm Dr. Jack Hyde. Lord, let us live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when we kneel to pray, our prayers shall be for others. We are privileged to have Dr. Jack Hiles with us this morning. He is pastor of the First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. He has 18,000 members. He averages between 11,000 and 12,000 in Sunday school. He also has several schools. He has two grade schools, a junior high, a high school, and a college, with a total enrollment of around 2,000 students. And besides, he's gone half of every week over the nation speaking to different groups. Last year, he spoke to 32,000 ministers of all denominations. And he is a busy man. We appreciate him. He has the Spirit of Christ. He's interested in the work of the kingdom in all churches, and he's interested in helping to bring America back to its moorings and to the standards upon which we were founded. It is good to have him on the campus. After the morning chapel service, we will have...
I just don't care a thing about it. Besides that building looks entirely too much like a mausoleum to suit me. The idea of going in there and having them close those big steel doors behind me, I want no part of it. I'll wait here in the car. Well, we left them and we all went in to see the presentation, and I tell you, it was tremendous. Very moving experience. And of course, when we came out, we were quick to share our report of the wonderful thing that he had missed. And we just laid it on him real good, you know, about what he had missed. Probably one of the opportunities of a lifetime to see one of the world's wonders, you know. And we just went on and on and on, until I know we had him feeling pretty miserable. Now, it wasn't just that he was miserable because he missed the big event. He was miserable because he missed it needlessly. He was right there in the automobile, just a few steps from the entrance of the building. He could have gone, but he chose not to. He missed it needlessly. I know of a man who had the opportunity to go to a track meet where some exciting things were bound to happen. But though he was very interested in athletics and track meets, he decided not to go. And in that very meet, there were three world's records that were broken. I know of another fellow who was invited to go hunting with his friends. He liked to hunt, but on this particular occasion, he decided he wasn't going to go, so he stayed home. His friends went, and they bagged their limit of quail in an hour. I once invited a friend to accompany me to an all-star football game in Chicago. I had a $10 ticket that I was willing to give him for him to go along and join our party as we went. But he said, no, I have some other things that I think I'll be doing. It's not usually a very good game anyhow. And I had to agree with him that was true. He said, I don't think I'll go. So he didn't go. As it turned out, it was one of the greatest games in all-star history. When I later said, well, you could have gone, he said, yes, I've been feeling pretty miserable about it ever since I heard what a great game it was. In all of these cases, you see, it wasn't something where they couldn't go. It wasn't a case of something they couldn't do. It was something they missed needlessly. And as a result, they felt kind of miserable about it. The items we've been talking about to this point are really obviously rather superficial, not too important. They relate to the immediate, to the temporal. They aren't related to things eternal. And if people were only missing out on the kind of good things we've talked about up to this moment, it really wouldn't matter too much. This business of being miserable in life wouldn't really merit our attention. But the trouble is, people are not only needlessly missing out on many good things in this life. There are all too many who are going to miss out on some very good things in the next life, too. And if they do, they will do so needlessly, and consequently, they will be miserable. The people of Noah's time missed out on a rather good thing of eternal significance, and it too was a needless proposition. They had plenty of opportunity to join Noah in the ark, but they chose to think that he was telling idle tales. Even as the disciples greeted the words of the women when they returned from the tomb. They were working on the ark. They were getting it ready to go. Noah was faithfully proclaiming the fact that there was going to come an end, that there was a great flood coming. But the word says the people just went on marrying, eating, drinking, just as at other times they made no preparation for the great flood that was to come. They considered it an idle tale. You know, all people learn about God fully, completely, at one time or other in life. And I made up my mind a long time ago that I wanted to learn about God in the ark and not in the water. Now you have your choice. You're going to learn about God. You're going to learn about God. His word promises that fact's true. You're going to learn about God. And you have your choice. You can either learn about him in the ark or in the water. The disciples of Christ missed some tremendous events. They missed it needlessly, even as the people of Noah's time. It was needless. They didn't have to perish. They didn't have to die. God prepared a way of escape for them, and he had his faithful servant proclaim the fact there was a way of escape, but they missed it. They were lost in the flood, needlessly. These disciples, they missed some tremendous events, some earth-shaking events. They missed them, and they too missed them needlessly. Have you ever thought how amazing it is? The disciples missed the resurrection. The disciples of Christ, they missed the resurrection. History's greatest event, they weren't there. They should have been on hand. Jesus told them that he would rise on the third day. He told them. But apparently they didn't really believe it. And as a result, they missed out needlessly on history's greatest event. Perhaps it's just a simple case that the disciples underestimated Christ's power, like we do. You say, no, we don't. Yes, we do. We don't really believe everything that God has said and everything God had promised, or we wouldn't live with the kind of defeat we live with from time to time. For God has promised his adequacy for all of the things that come to us in life, but all too often we don't live as though we really believe that. No, in fact, sometimes the world seems to have more faith in God's power than we do. The Jews, remember, Jesus said he would leave the tomb, and as a result, they begged Pilate to seal and guard the tomb. Now, I realize they thought it was going to be the disciples that came and got the body and took it away as a hoax, but I think they also knew that a man who had performed the kind of miracles that Jesus had performed was the kind of man you just wanted to be careful with. If he said he was going to come forth on the third day, you didn't want to treat that lightly. So they said, we want to seal this thing. We want to guard this thing so there's no chance of this man getting out. But the disciples weren't even close to the tomb on that great third day. Don't you imagine that they were kind of angry with themselves after everything was over and they realized what they did? Don't you think they were a little miserable to think that they were going to have to tell their grandchildren that they had opportunity to see the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they missed it needlessly? If only they paid attention and believed everything Jesus said. There'll be a lot of people like that someday. If only we'd have paid attention. If only we'd have believed. Some of the women went to the tomb. The angel was there. He gave them the information. He's not here. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's gone. Remember? He promised that he would be gone. So the women went and told the disciples their discovery. Now Jesus had promised it, and the women testified to it, and the disciples said, it's an idle tale. We don't believe. Sometimes our women see things better than we do. We have the tendency sometimes to disregard what they may have to say. The disciples did. They said it's an idle tale. Some of them, even after this information had come to them, went home. In the face of this new evidence, they just got up and went on home, said there's nothing more going on here. We might as well go on home. And two of them started out walking to Emmaus. And Jesus joined them on the journey. They didn't recognize him. Of course, they weren't looking for him. If you're having trouble recognizing Jesus in your life, maybe it's because you aren't looking for him. I suppose. They didn't recognize him. After some time had gone on, they finally did recognize that it was Jesus. But they missed out on a great deal, for they could have been enjoying his presence for a long time instead of a few moments. And I wonder how many this morning have been walking life road, not aware of the fact that they were not walking alone, that there was someone else at their side, calling to them, trying to convince them that he is the Christ. But you haven't recognized him. You haven't had any communication with him. You haven't recognized him because you haven't been looking for him. I think these disciples were kind of miserable after they discovered what they'd missed. But no matter how miserable all the disciples might have felt, I think it was short-lived. Their misery was soon relieved, for Jesus himself appeared in the midst of them to convince them once and for all that he was the victorious Son of God. And at that moment, I believe their misery was terminated. What point? The point where Christ again became a reality in their lives. And I suggest to you this morning that Christ can be a reality in your life too. And I believe I'm talking to some this morning who need Christ. Oh, you're in Christ's church on this Sunday morning in the Lenten season. I know that. But is Christ himself a reality in your heart? I believe I'm talking to some this morning who are facing the possibility of being eternally miserable. What do you mean? Most of the things we've talked about only relate to this life. But there are some things that had eternal potential for misery. There's coming a day when this same resurrected Christ is going to return. And I wonder if all of you are ready to meet him. You've said it's an idle tale. But remember, your saying it doesn't make it so. The disciples said it's an idle tale, but just because they said it didn't make it so. And you may say this morning, the second coming of Jesus Christ is just an idle tale, the figment of perhaps good people's imagination. But your saying it and thinking it doesn't make it so. Jesus said, I will return. And if you miss his coming, remember, you missed it needlessly. In all the things we've mentioned this morning, the individual involved didn't really plan on missing anything. Whether it was a football game or the disciples missing the resurrection, they didn't plan on missing anything. If they had known the outcome, in all these cases, they never would have missed the event. Did you hear what I said? If they had known the outcome, they never would have missed the event. Well, we have an advantage over everybody we've talked about this morning. We know the outcome. Christ told us the outcome. We know a great deal about what we'll miss. And if we miss heaven, we will, of all people, be most miserable. But I'm so glad to be able to tell you the good news this morning. You don't have to be miserable a moment longer. You don't have to be miserable a moment longer than you want to be. For you can do something about it. Just admit this morning that the only way you're able to live with yourself is you keep on saying, someday I'll get it taken care of. Someday I'll find out about this religion business. Someday, 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 any day, as long as it isn't this day. Now admit it this morning. That may be the way you're living your life. That's the way you get to sleep at night. That's the way you go through the day. By telling yourself, someday I'll get it fixed. Someday I'll get it taken care of. Someday. You keep putting it off in the future. Someday. Any day. As long as it isn't this day. I read the story of Marguerite Piazza, the famous opera star. A beautiful woman with a beautiful voice. One day, looking in the mirror, saw a little spot appear on her face. Oh, nothing to worry about. So she rather dismissed it from her mind, but it persisted. In fact, she thought she noticed it grew a little larger. Finally, her husband mentioned it to her, said he had not noticed it before, asked her when she had first noticed it herself. She told him. He said, will you please go to your doctor and get that checked? It probably is nothing, but it could be something serious. She said, yes, I will. Someday. Someday. I'll get it taken care of. She kept putting it off, putting it off, putting it off, putting it off, until it became large enough that she felt she must do something about it. When she finally went to the doctor and they made the examinations, they discovered that if she had come much earlier, they could have helped her more, but as it turned out, they had to remove a sizable portion of her face. It was cancerous. And it was only through the skill of famed plastic surgeons that they were able to put her back together again until, unless you looked very, very closely, you would not be able to see any sign of her surgery. Now, all the time she was saying she was going to do something about her condition didn't help her medically at all. Not at all. It wasn't until she went and put her hands herself into the hands of the physician, that she really helped herself. And then it was almost too late. And I'm telling you this morning, for you to say, someday I'll get right with this resurrected Christ, doesn't help you a bit. I fear you're not any closer to being saved today than you were a year ago. You see, there's no almost saved. You either are or you are not. You have either had that one divine moment in life where you have confessed your sins to Jesus Christ and begged on the basis of his promise to be forgiven. You've either been forgiven or you haven't been forgiven. You've either been cleansed from your sins or you're still living in your sin. And I ask you this morning, why would you wait any longer? It's time for you to put yourself into the hands of the great physician. It's time for you to say, here I am, Lord. Whatever kind of radical surgery you may need to perform on my life, here I am. Take me. Do with me as you will. For the problem is, the longer you wait, the more problems you bring to yourself, for your schedule and God's schedule just may not coincide. And if the resurrection of Jesus Christ tells us anything in this Lenten season, it's this: Jesus is coming again. There will be that clap of thunder, the splitting of the skies, the unnumbered multitude, the choir of angels. There'll be the trumpets. There'll be the behold the glory of the resurrected Christ. It'll all happen. And when it does, many will act surprised. Why? Because they considered his return an idle day. Now, I don't know why they'll be surprised. For 2,000 years, faithful men have been announcing the fact that Jesus is coming again. And when that happens, some will say, Lord, I'm ready now. You remember me? You've tried to forgive me many times. Well, I'm ready now. Well, that will be too late. Christ's piercing gaze will fall upon these, and he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. You want to talk about being miserable? That's the man who will be the most miserable man in the world. For that kind of man will be miserable through all eternity. And perhaps the worst part is this. It's also needless. It's also needless. No one needs to miss heaven. Why should you? You don't need to. No, this Lenten season means all of us, because of the price paid by Jesus Christ on that cross, because of his fulfillment of the promise that he would come forth from the grave, victory over sin, hell, and death. Because of all this, you have the opportunity. You have the opening into heaven. The angel of God is standing with the pen ready to write and record your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's all there, all prepared, all ready for you. Christ's death and resurrection makes it possible for all of us to go to heaven. And I ask you this morning in closing, why not? Why not forsake your misery and receive the joy of Christ and the knowledge that you can spend eternity with him? Oh, forsake your misery. Don't miss it. If you do, you'll miss it needlessly. Why don't you give your heart to Christ? Why don't you do it this morning?